This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Mostly baseball so far today. Very little else going on. Plus, hey, I'm a guy who's never going to object to talking baseball. So I have company in this segment on that front. Richard Justice, MLB.com, senior writer. Prior to that, a good decade as the lead columnist for the Houston Chronicle. Richard, been a few weeks. I appreciate the time. Let me start with this, since I was discussing Mike Trout, two more home runs last night. If he were to retire today, do you think he'd make the Hall of Fame? Or maybe retirement would turn off some voters. If he suffered, heaven forbid, a career-ending injury today, how do you think the Hall of Fame voters would treat Mike Trout 5 years?
Well, he needs two more years. He's got to play today.
Yeah, that's true, the 10 years of
eligibility. But, yes, he has numbers now to get in. And, I mean, you go through his career war and all that, it's top. He has already topped some Hall of Famers. You know, and I think the same thing can be said for Clayton Kershaw, or pretty close to it. Let's say Mike Trout has five more years like the last five. We're going to be considering him. You go pick out your pick for greatest player ever, whether that be Frank Robinson or Willie Mays, Ricky Henderson, whoever. He's going to be in that conversation. We are seeing, and it's not just who he is and what he is. It's his dedication to getting better, to taking care of every weakness in his game. You know, in 2015, the Astros thought they had him by throwing him high fastballs. He adjusted. He didn't like the defensive metrics a year ago in the offseason. He's now an above-average defensive outfielder. It's just and let me tell you, Charlie, I know the guy. There is no BS with this guy. He doesn't care about the spotlight, about the attention, anything. The guy just wants to play baseball. He is unlike anyone I have ever seen in that what you see on the field is what you get.
I'm not saying we're spring chickens, Richard, but we both still have some tread on the tire, meaning yep. We're both too young to have seen Mays and Mantle through their greatest years. Trout as a center fielder, I think, is the obvious comparison there. Who do you consider the greatest player of your baseball lifetime that you saw through the heart of his career?
I would have to have a debate about that with myself. Ricky Henderson versus Barry Bonds, and that would be a pretty close one. I love Ricky, and I love the fact that he did everything. I mean, everything. But Bonds was pretty spectacular. It would be those two. But, you know, going back, like I covered Ripken and Eddie Murray. I saw a ton of George Brett and Wade Boggs and Dave Winfield when I was covering the American League East. So I've seen a bunch of spectacular ones. So in terms of pitching, I've never seen anybody like Roger Clemens. You know, by the time he got to Houston, he was 91, 92 miles an hour. His aptitude for pitching is off the charts. And I know Phil Garner's told you the story. Like, it's in the third inning. The guys walk six guys. And he's thinking, I got to go get him. He's going to embarrass himself. And you look up at the end of the day, seven innings, two earned runs. It was just a privilege for me to watch the guy pitch.
I guess we have to await the playout yet on Shohei Ohtani, but how big of a bummer, obviously, for the Angels, but really for baseball, if it turns out full Tommy John and he can't pitch till 2020.
It stinks for baseball. It stinks for the Angels, who've got something good going right now, and it stinks for this kid who was, you know, we were past the point of saying, can he do it? He was doing it. And I was talking to some of those people and some of the scouts who've seen it. His split finger pitch was as good a pitch as you will ever see in the game. His bat speed was off the charts. He was going to be able to do this. And you know, we can debate forever. You know, as you know, Charlie, the Rangers were criticized for putting Darvish on a different schedule than he'd been his whole career, and therefore he got hurt. Well, the Angels couldn't have been more careful in the care and feeding of Shohei Ohtani's arm, and he gets hurt. I think sometimes it just happens.
What do you make of Dallas Keuchel and fly on the wall? What do you think A.J. Hinch, Brent Strom, others are thinking? You have Colin McHugh as an obvious replacement if you want to go that way. Keuchel, though, has track record. Where do you come down?
Well, I think I'm going to take Sunday start out of the equation. I had our analytics people go through every – it was unbelievable. They call that the unluckiest game any pitcher had pitched the whole year. I think he gave up three hard-hit balls. You know, it was crazy. And I've never seen Dallas so frustrated after a game. Having said all that, and he is unlucky if you look at expected on base, expected batting average, but not demonstrably so. I think this is the most interesting thing about the Astros. There's been points this year where, okay, we all wanted to hang Ken Giles, Marwin, Gattis, others who had struggled. And I think you play it out, you play the projections. The projections are still that they're going to win the AL West by 10 games and that they will eventually establish themselves. So you have some room to play with in terms of that. But I think in both the case of Charlie Morton in Dallas, you want them to take a deep breath. I wouldn't mind if they gave Charlie a couple of extra days and let him go to the bullpen and figure out. He knows mechanically what he's doing wrong, but sometimes it's hard to fix it on the fly. And I would say the same thing about Dallas. He stopped throwing his two-seam fastball. He's changed his fastball repertoire. And when a guy does that, you wonder, like, hey, what's going on here? So I guess I'm giving you a non-answer. I would just keep sending him out there as long as I could.
Talking with Richard Justice, MLB.com. You alluded to the Astros in the division. Hey, all credit to the Seattle Mariners, 42 sure. and 24. They play 500 ball the rest of the way. They win 90 and probably break that playoff drought. But 90, what do you think of that as percent for the Astros to win the division still?
No, the Astros are going to win the division. I buy into the projections. All the projections are they're going to win 100, 101. Things can happen, you know, but what we've seen offensively the last couple of weeks is sort of what we thought we would see. You know, Seattle's won 12 out of 14 one-run games. Now, you know, remember when Baltimore went, 29-9 or something like that, 21-9 in one-run games a few years ago? If you look at that from 30,000 feet, you say, okay, that's not sustainable.
Right. And regression
indeed,
to the
it
mean,
wasn't
all
sustainable.
That stuff, yeah.
But if you're part of it, you say that reflects our grit and our toughness. Mariners are still not scoring a ton of runs. But the pitching, what they've gotten out of Marco Gonzalez and Wade LeBlanc has been phenomenal.
Within a season, you can ride that mojo and buck all the Rangers 2 years ago, 36-11 in one-run games, and the next year it all fell apart, as it did with those Orioles teams. Speaking of the Orioles, Richard, every day that goes by, are they making a mistake not trading Manny Machado at this point? What do you think the play out there is? And Zach Britton making his way back from rehab, I know you wrote last week, that's one we should be attuned to here.
Well, I think he's no question he's number one on the list of the relievers that are going to be traded. Iglesias in Cincinnati, Herrera in Kansas City, probably maybe Brad Hand in San Diego. I think the Astros would still take their chances with Zach Britton. You know, you don't have to be healthy. Just be healthy for 4 weeks in October. I mean, his performance is so far a bit above everybody else. I think the problem with the Orioles is who's in charge, and you got to have a blueprint. I mean, it's just unthinkable that you're going to let your GM become a free agent, your manager become a free agent, that you're not sure who's running baseball ops. Rumors are that Brady Anderson's doing it. This should have been taken care of a long time ago. Before they get to trading Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Zach Britton, any of those guys, they got to have a plan, and they got to have a plan who's going to lead them going forward. And it seems like I have a friend who's actually has inquired about buying the team and has been told the team is not for sale, so I would assume that answers that. But I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they propose to get there. I guess there's going to be a mountain of changes, but they're an organization with a lot of questions.
You definitely have richer friends than I do. Last thing for this go-round, Richard, how many games do you think the American League wild card game host will wind up winning this regular season? That's nuts!
Oh, I think 100. I mean, I'm just going by the projections, 99 or 100. I mean, that's where it's going to end up. And, you know, with the way we're headed Seattle at Yankees or Seattle at Red Sox, and the Red Sox and Yankees are going to both finish close to 100, and the Astros are going to finish close to 100. It's an extraordinary year in that way.
And it could be 105, 106. It makes me think.
Yeah, especially because
so many bad teams.
Right, Toronto, Tampa. What do you got going there? And then you just pile up the wins, which makes it very hard for teams in real competitive divisions to win.
And you go for it, right? Yankees, Red Sox, to avoid that one-game Russian roulette. It reminds me a little bit, was it 93, the McGriff to the Braves year, the Giants win 103, but there was no wild card. You win 103 and you get nothing.
Yeah, well, the Orioles won 101 year under Earl Weaver and didn't go anywhere. And this format was supposed to, you know, remember the year the Yankees said, we don't care if we win the division or not. Well, now you do care. You're going to care because you don't want that one winner take all. And then you look over and the other team brings in Madison Bumgarner, Adam Wainwright, Jake Arrieta, and your season ends. As Clint Hurdle said when he in those 3 years they got those three guys, he said, sometimes you draw a tough bull, and that's why you want to win your division.
Richard Justice, MLB.com. Appreciate the time and insight as always. I'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Charlie.